Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast, providing an exclusive look into efforts to conserve the wild things and wild places in Texas.
Hello, and welcome to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast. I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Today, we're thrilled to have former First Lady Laura Bush on the line. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Mrs. Bush.
Great. Thanks, Lydia. Thanks for asking me to talk about my favorite things, parks.
This month, we're celebrating our love of the wild things and wild places of Texas, and a lot of people know that you've been an advocate for parks for a very long time.
That's right. I've hiked in a national park for years, for 30 years, with my best friends that I grew up with in Midland, Texas. We hike every year in a park, and we've done things, of course, like swim at Balmoray, which is one of our great state parks and a park that was close to us when we were in Midland. It was something we did as children and have done since.
Can you share with us why that's important, why parks and open spaces are important to you, your friends, your family?
My mother was a bird watcher. We grew up really on the, west. She grew up in El Paso, and I did in Midland, out in the, really in the desert. But she loved to be outside, and I learned from her that I love to be outside. And I know now that research shows that it's really good for your health to be outside. In fact, I hosted at Houston Methodist recently a summit on the little research that's been done that actually proves that it's good for your health to be outdoors. So I think it's important for parents to take their children outside. Research also shows that this generation of children are inside more than any other generation before in history. So it's important for parents to know that they need to take their kids outside, to put down all those electronic devices and enjoy nature.
Yeah, and I know you've been involved with the whole children and nature movement and why that is so important.
That's right.
Now, of course, as you know, Texas is blessed with 95 state parks, and most of us live within an easy drive of one. At the risk of putting you on the spot, Mrs. Bush, do you have a favorite state park? Which parks did you visit with your daughters?
Well, Balmoray, the one that I mentioned before, is a wonderful place to swim. It's a natural spring, but it's really a big swimming pool. It's done as a swimming pool, and that I would say that's one of my favorites. That's where we would go with a Sunday school group in the summer. From Midland, and then also where I've gone since with my friends when we've gone down toward the Big Bend, which is one of the largest national parks in our whole national park system. When we've gone down there to hike, we always stop at Balmoray.
I think that's a habit a lot of people have when they head down that way. You got to stop at the park and at least dip your toe in those wonderful
waters.
That's
right.
Now, during the last legislative session, Texas lawmakers approved significant dollars for repair and maintenance of aging state park facilities, many constructed during the CCC era in the 1930s. Yet there always remains a need for additional support. What role can private citizens play in taking care of our parks?
Well, private philanthropists can help on all of those projects. And I'm so happy that the legislature did pass appropriations to do a lot of remediation that different parks need, restoration that parks need. But many of the national parks have friends groups that support those parks, and I would encourage Texas citizens to start, if your closest state park doesn't have a friends group, start a friends group with your with people that you know. And that's a way to raise money privately to do special projects in parks that may not be covered with appropriations.
Now, switching gears a little bit, I know you recently co-authored a children's book with your daughter, Jenna Bush Hager, called Our Great Big Backyard. What is that book's main message, and what motivated y'all to write that book?
Well, this is the centennial year of the National Park Service, and since I've hiked in the national park every year for 30-some-odd years, one of those years, we invited our girls to join us. We all have girls. Some of my friends have boys, too, but we invited all the girls to go with us on the Grand Canyon trip. We hiked, we floated down the Grand Canyon, got in the Grand Canyon and floated to the South Rim, and then hiked out of the South Rim with our daughters. And once we did that, they also became very interested in hiking, and especially hiking in parks. So Jenna and I thought this was the perfect time with the centennial of the National Parks to write the book, Our Great Big Backyard. And it's a story of a little precocious girl, Jane, who's always taking selfies or using her mother's phone to text her friends or looking at an iPad, watching a screen, and her mother wants her to look up. So they take a national park trip from the Everglades to Yosemite, and about the time they get to the Big Bend, when Jane looks up at the stars in the sky there, she realizes that those stars are so much brighter and more beautiful than anything she sees on the screen.
That's wonderful. And, you know, I mentioned the Children in Nature movement, and I know you spoke at a conference a couple of years back. I was in the audience, and you brought the audience to tears reflecting on your grandchildren. And
yes, exactly, and what I want for them, which is the same thing, to be able to look up, to go outside. And, of course, George does, too. He was really great about taking the girls when they were little, and we still lived in Midland, and it snowed. They'd get all bundled up, and he'd take them for a night snow walk through the streets of Midland. And I think those are the things that children and grandchildren remember when they're grown up, and those are the kind of memories we can make for our children if we take them outside and teach them to love nature.
Now, you've already mentioned that you've been to Big Bend quite a few times, and I understand that as a young girl, you attended summer camp there.
Well, at Camp Miter Peak, which is close to the Big Bend. That's the Girl Scout camp that's down close to the Big Bend. That's where I went. And then Barbara and Jenna first rode a horse, and I just found the picture of the little three-year-old girls on a horse when we went with our Sunday school class to Prude Ranch, which is also down close to the Big Bend. And those are the memories that they have, really, and that I have from going to camp in that part of Texas.
Now, when you and President Bush returned home from Washington a few years back, you decided to lend your voice to conservation efforts here in Texas. Can you tell us about some of the things that you've been doing on that front?
When we moved home, I made an effort with some of these very same friends that I've hiked with all these years to start something called Texan by Nature, to encourage people to use native plants, to work with corporations on their big campuses. BAE Systems outside of Austin has a 140-acre campus, and they're now planting and propagating milkweed, native milkweed, for monarch butterflies, so that when monarchs migrate through Texas, they have milkweed. We've done the same thing at our ranch, and if you do that on your corporate campus or in your churchyard or in your own backyard, you can become a monarch wrangler. We have our monarch wrangler sign on our ranch gate. So I want to encourage people to look at the Texan by Nature website, and on that you'll see what you need to do to become a monarch wrangler. Monarch numbers are decreasing. Our state is on their flyway when they fly up from Chiapas, Mexico, up to Nebraska, and then also when they fly back down to their breeding grounds in Chiapas. So I encourage people to plant plants, native plants, in your own yard that all the different pollinators, bees as well as butterflies, need. We have to have those pollinators for agriculture.
And you know what's amazing? If you plant it, they will come.
That's right. It's really true. I encourage you to plant blue mist. We have that all over our ranch, and that attracts queens and viceroys, butterflies. You'll be amazed if you plant blue mist, which is a native flower, in your yard, how many butterflies will congregate in your own yard. It's great to show children, too.
Yeah, they're really pretty. Well, here at the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, we say that the wild in Texas is everlasting, but so is our responsibility as Texans to conserve it. Can you share your thoughts about why we all need to get involved?
We all need to be involved because fragmentation of land is one of the problems that all the wildlife that depend on native plants have when they fly through our big, big state. And so it's important on your own properties to plant things that are native to make up for that fragmentation of land that's just happened for development and for our good economy. And we're rich in Texas. We're lucky to have a thriving economy. And it's important for all of us, every single Texan, to be involved in figuring out ways to encourage wildlife and to plant things that wildlife would want. And, of course, that's what's native in our state. When we moved back and we built the Bush Center in here in Dallas on the campus of SMU, we've done a big native garden. The entire garden around the Bush Center is native. We developed a native turf grass with the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center that's a mixture of five Texas native grasses, a couple of grandma's buffalo, poverty drop seed, curly mesquite, and it doesn't need to be watered very much or mowed very often. And we have made a real effort to have natives all around our presidential library. I think people can come see what it looks like. It does look wild. It doesn't look perfectly mowed and groomed like people think the landscape should look. But also, we've had research done that shows we've never had to use city water to irrigate. We have all the runoff from the building and the parking lot is piped in through a limestone swale and into a 250,000-gallon underground cistern. And so we've always been able to water when we've needed to with our own water that we've collected. And then because the plants that we've used are native, they don't require as much water as a St. Augustine lawn, for instance. So I encourage people, when you come to Dallas, visit our native garden and see what a wild native garden can look like and how nice it'd be for everyone's own property. And then at our own ranch, we've done prairie restoration, which is very difficult. The rancher that we bought the property from before had planted coastal Bermuda, which, of course, was an asset for him as a rancher. But now that we've tried to get native prairie, we've had to plow for 5 years to get rid of the coastal Bermuda. And then this last year, with all the rain we got, we were able to plant native seed. And our native prairie is really beautiful. And now we can hay it to use as we expand the prairie, hay it for our own seed.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Mrs. Bush. We are so grateful for all you do to raise awareness for the conservation of the wild things and wild places of Texas.
Okay, great. And thanks so much to Texas Parks and Wildlife for everything you do. Thanks a lot.
Till next time. Thanks for listening.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast is brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, supporting high-impact conservation projects across the state. Find out how you can help at tpwf.org.